Okay. So we all know that around this time of year, we begin the Dalit Parshias, the four Parshias. It's a very exciting time of year, heralding in Purim and Pesach. So the Mishnah tells us in Meseches Megillah, Daf Chaf Ches Amud Aleph, the Mishnah tells us, Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechal Lios B'Shabbes, if Rosh Chodesh Adar happens to fall out on a Shabbos, so then Koirin B'Parsha Shkolim, so then we would read Parsha Shkolim, the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, on that Shabbos. However, if it's Chal Yois B'Toicha Shabbos, if Rosh Chodesh Adar would fall out sometime during the week, so then Makdimin L'Sha'avar, the way it works out is that we would read Parsha Shkolim the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar, Umafsik in the Shabbos Acheres, and then that would require us to skip the next Shabbos. So the Mefarshim explained the reason why we would read Parsha Shkolim on or before Rosh Chodesh Adar is because it reminds us of the mitzvah of renewing the Shkolim. We know that every year there is a mitzvah to give the Machzis HaShekel, and everyone would give a half a coin to the Beis HaMikdash, and all the Karbanis Tzibor would be paid for, would be purchased with that money, with that Shkolim. Now, even if there is existing coins from last year left in the coffers, there is a mitzvah to renew the Shkolim every year. The pasuk says that Chadesh, you have to bring new Shkolim. So it was a very interesting mitzvah that every year we would renew the Shkolim, and the old Shkolim, the leftover Shkolim from last year, would be diverted to a different cause, and we would make a new collection with new Shkolim. So the reason why we read Parsha Shkolim is, number one, to remind ourselves of that mitzvah of donating Shkolim in the times of the Beis HaMikdash in order to purchase the Karbanis Tzibor, the communal offerings. And in addition, it would actually serve as an announcement, giving people a month's notice to be able to start sending in their Shkolim, that they should arrive at the Beis HaMikdash in time, that the new collection can be used towards the new year's Karbanis. That was Rosh Chodesh Adar, collecting Shkolim in honor of the upcoming new year that began in Nisan. That's the first of the Dalit Parshias. Then, on the Shabbos before Purim, Bishniya, on the second Shabbos, or the second Parsha that we would read, is Parshas Zachar. That's the Parsha at the end of Kisetze, the three psukim there that remind us of what Amalek, how he waged war against the Jewish people when we left Mitzrayim, and how we have a mitzvah to remember that forever. Bishlishis Parah Aduma, the third parsha would be Parah Aduma. Parah Aduma was we would purify ourselves with the ashes of the red cow in honor of Pesach, in order that everybody would be tahor, in a state of purity, to be able to bring the Korban Pesach. And then finally, Berevias, on the fourth week, the fourth of the Dalit Parshias is HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. HaChodesh Zelochem is the mitzvah of the very first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael was given as a tzibor, as a whole. The very first mitzvah, Parshas HaChodesh, was the mitzvah of being Mekadesh the Chodesh. So in Mitzrayim itself, the Jewish people, before Matan Torah, the Jewish people collectively were given the mitzvah of HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, of being Mekadesh the Chodesh. And the Mefarshim tell us that it wasn't just simply a procedure of declaring the new moon, declaring the new month, but it actually symbolizes giving the laws of nature to the Jewish people, the ones who are the bearers of the Torah. The laws of nature, so to speak, were given to the Jewish people, that we have the ability, the Bezdin, the Sanhedrin, to establish the new moon, to establish when the months begin, when we herald in the holidays. We almost have a shlita over time, because we determine whether we have an extra month in the year, like we do this year, how long the year is, when a child will become bar mitzvah, the various halachas that are attached to becoming a bar mitzvah. other halachas that depend on the years, on the age of a person. So these halachas, that the power to determine the time was given over to Klal Yisrael. So these are very four special parshas that we have. Parsha Shkalim, that reminds us of the Shkalim, to give in, to send in our communal, the funds to purchase communal offerings. We have Parsha Zachar, which reminds us of what a Amalek, how he attacked the Jewish people, and the mitzvah to never forget that. We have the Paraduma, where Imit Hashem Abba Aleinu L'toiva Mashiach should come, and we should again be able to purify ourselves in order to bring the Korban Pesach. And finally, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, which is sanctifying the new moon, declaring the Rosh Chodesh, which again symbolizes much more than a simple procedure. It symbolizes the fact that the laws of nature are given over to the Jewish people, the ones who keep the Torah. And then finally, the Mishnah concludes, Bechamishas, on the fifth week, Chodron leKesidron, then we would go back to the normal order of the readings. We're done with the special valid parshas. These are the four parshas that we read every year, and then the Gemara doesn't tell us that much more about these Dalet Parshas. We're all familiar with the Psukim that is Parshas Zachar at the end of Parshas Kisetze, Dvarim Perichav Hei, Pasuk Yud Zayin. So we all know, we all go to Shul special in order to hear the special Parsha, Parshas Zachar, Zachar, Sashir Asalucha, Amalek, Baderech, Betzeisachem, Mimitzroyin. So we're all familiar with these three Psukim that we read. And this is the Parsha of Zachar. It's a three psukim Parsha. So the Gemara tells us in item Gimel, let's just translate the words of the Parsha Zachar. Zachar es asher asa lecha Amalek, that you shall remember what Amalek did to you, baderech, while you were on the way, betzeischem mimitzrayim, when you left Mitzrayim. So we know that we left Mitzrayim, we were at the top of the world. The entire Egyptian empire was crushed. The nations were trembling, like the Psukim describe. We were on our way marching to Eretz Yisrael. And Amalek, instead of being inspired by all of that, they went out to attack us. And the Mefarshim explain, they really were attacking what the Jewish people represented at that time. We represented bringing the honor of Hashem into this world, open miracles, learning about Hashem, and they were trying to attack and to destroy all of that. So that's why the Torah tells us that when Amalek was fighting against the Jewish people, he really was using us. He really was fighting against Hashem. So the Pasuk says, Zachor eis asher asa lecha Amalek, you shall remember what Amalek did to you, baderech betzeischem mimitzrayim, on the way when we left Mitzrayim, asher karecha baderech, what he chanced upon you on the way. The Pasuk says that he tried to cut off all of the stragglers, all of the people that were straggling behind. He attacked us from behind. We were tired. We were weary on the way. And Amalek was not afraid of Hashem. So the Pasuk commands us, so Hashem says that when Hashem causes us to be settled in our land from all of our enemies around, in the land that Hashem gave us, so after we enter Eretz Yisrael and establish ourselves in Eretz Yisrael, so then there's a mitzvah, Timcha es Zecher Amalek, or Zecher Amalek, Mitachas Hashemayim, we shall blot out, we should destroy, we should erase the memory of Amalek from under the heavens. Loi tishkach, we shall never forget what Amalek did for us. That Amalek came out and waged a war against the Jewish people, trying really to wage a war against Hashem himself, Kaviyachol. We have to remember that. This is the Parsha of Parsha Zachar. Now, what is this Parsha all about? And what are we fulfilling when we read Parsha Zachar on the Shabbos before Purim, this coming Shabbos of Abba Aleinu L'toyva? The Gemara tells us in Megillah, Mimai dehai zechira kriyahi, dilma iyun ba'alma. How do we know that this mitzvah of zechira, to remember what Amalek did, how do we know that it means to read it, and that we have to verbalize it and articulate, we have to verbalize it orally, we have to read it? Maybe it's iyun ba'alma, maybe it's simply thinking about it. So the Gemara tells us no, and the Gemara darshins the psukim that we read in Parsha Zohar that we just read right now. Loi salkadaito. Don't let that enter your mind. Why? Tiksiv Zohar. The Pasuk says you have to remember. Yochel belev. You would think that Zohar means simply to remember. You can remember it in your heart. You can remember it in your mind. It just means to remember what Amalek did. So on that, the Gemara tells us, Kishuhu oimer loi tishkach, when the Pasuk says, you shall not forget, harei sheshichachas halev omur. That is already referring to not forgetting it in your heart. When the Pasuk says, loi tishkach, don't forget it, that means to remember it. Homo ani mekayim zohar. So what does the Pasuk mean when it says, in the positive sense, that you have to remember? Bepeh. It means you have to remember it orally. You have to remember it. You have to verbalize it. You have to read it. So going back to the psukim in item Beis, the last pasuk there, the pasuk says, the first pasuk says zachor in the very beginning, and the last pasuk says loy tishkach, don't forget. So the Gemara is telling us that this mitzvah of not forgetting and remembering what Amalek did for us, did towards us, is actually a loisa say. There's a negative commandment here, not to forget. And there's also a positive commandment, zachar, to remember. Loi tishkach, the negative commandment, we fulfill. We're not in violation. We're in compliance with the negative commandment. As long as we don't forget, believe. As long as we remember it in our hearts and in our minds. The positive commandment, which is zachar, that we fulfill by reading it, by saying it verbally, by articulating what Amalek did for us. How is this mitzvah of Zachar and Leitishkach, how is it fulfilled? When do we fulfill this mitzvah? So the Ramban says Al HaTorah, so the Ramban says on these psukim at the end of Parshas Kisetze, says the Ramban, the lo yodati mahi haschira hazu bepeh. So what is this mitzvah to remember what Amalek did to us, bepeh, that we have to articulate, we have to express this orally? What is this mitzvah of zechira bepeh? So the Ramban entertains. Im lemor, if it is to say, shenikra parshas Amalek betzibor, so the Ramban articulates this, is the first to articulate, maybe the way we fulfill this mitzvah, maybe what this mitzvah is commanding us to do, is to read Parsha Zachar Betzibor. Maybe that's what the Pasuk is telling us to do. The Nimtzinu Lemeidin Minat Torah, and this will teach us now, if that's what the Pasuk is telling us, it's going to come out that Bishniya Zachar, that when the Mishnah in Megillah says that on the second week, which is the week right before Purim, there's a mitzvah to read Parsha Zachar, that's going to mean that it's min haTorah, that this is a biblical commandment to read Parsha Zachar before Purim. V'yehei smach l'mikra Megillah min haTorah. And not only that, says the Ramban, but even the reading of the Megillah, because we know that the story of the Megillah, the Purim story, is just another example of where Amalek, Haman, who was a descendant of Amalek, of Agag, Amalek again was trying to destroy the Jewish people, was trying to commit a genocide against the Jewish people. And we read the Megillah. The Megillah was written by Mordechai and Esther. We read it. It's a rabbinic decree to read it on Purim. Says the Ramban, entertains the Ramban, that Parsha Zachar that we read before Purim, perhaps that's a fulfillment of the commandment of Zachar, of the biblical, of the deraisa mitzvah of Zachar. And this would be another smach. And this would be a support. It would be a support midoy raisa for the mikra Megillah min haTorah. So we're always accustomed to thinking that when we read the Megillah on Purim, we're fulfilling a derabanan. It's only a mitzvah derabanan, mikra Megillah. Or maybe it's a mitzvah midivrei Kabbalah. Maybe it's a mitzvah from the times of the Nach, of the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, because the Megillah is from among the Ksuvim, it's among the scriptures. So it's a mitzvah derabanan, which is written in the scriptures, but entertains the Ramban that Mikra Megillah has a smach min haTorah, it has a basis in the Torah, because the Torah says, zachar, to remember bepeh, what Amalek did. And the story of Purim is another manifestation of what Amalek did. Haman was a descendant of Amalek. So reading the Megillah Betzibor will also be a fulfillment of this doiraisa of zachar, eis asher asa lecha, Amalek. That's what the Ramban entertains. However, the Ramban moves away from this, and in item hey, I continued citing the Ramban. The Ramban says, "V'hanochin be'enai," but it appears to me, says the Ramban, "shehu loymar," that all the mitzvah requires, the mitzvah doesn't even require you to read Parsha Zachar from specifically from a Sefer Torah. All the mitzvah of Zachar requires is shehu loymar shloi tishkach masha osalano amalek, that we can never forget what Amalek did against us, against the Jewish people, back then in the Midbar. Ad shenimcha es shemoy mitachas hashamayim. We have to constantly remember, we can never forget what Amalek did, until we blot out his name from under the heavens. Unisaper ze levaneinu, unedoyroseinu. And we have to relate this, we have to transmit this down to our children and our grandchildren, all through the generations. Loimer lahem, and we have to tell our children, kach asalanu harasha, this is what the Rasha Amalek, the nation of Amalek, did to us back then in the Midbar. Ulekach nitzavinu limchos eshemoy, and that's why we're commanded to wage war, to battle, an eternal battle against Amalek until we blot out his name. So the Ramban is describing to us what he thinks, what he feels, is the real nature of the mitzvah of Zachar, Eisei Sher Tishkach. The Gemara tells us we're not allowed to forget, and the Gemara tells us Zachar is bepeh, that we have to express it. How do we fulfill this mitzvah, and what is the nature, what's the spirit behind this mitzvah of Zachar al Tishkach? So first the Ramban says perhaps it's the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Parsha Zachar on the Shabbos before Purim. And not only that, that would give a basis to the Mikra Megillah. When we read the Megillah, perhaps we're fulfilling this Doiraisa of Zachar al Tishkach. But then the Ramban says that it seems to him that that's actually not the full fulfillment of the mitzvah. That's not the spirit of the mitzvah. The spirit of the mitzvah is that we can't forget what Amalek did. We have to express this and teach it to our children and transmit it to our generations, that we have a mitzvah to never forget what Amalek did, and that's why we're commanded to wage an eternal war against Amalek, because as we mentioned before, Amalek was really trying to fight against everything that the Jewish people stand for, which is the Torah and the fact that Hashem's Kvod Shemayim was in the world. That is what the Ramban says. So it's mashma from the Ramban that the true mitzvah of Zachar al Tishkach is to remember bepeh, to be speaking about it, and to be transmitting it and teaching it to our children, to our generations, why we're mechuyev to wage an eternal war against Amalek. That's really what the mitzvah is. It's not just a ceremony that we perform in shul, but it's sort of like something that we keep in mind and we talk about all the time, how Amalek battled against Hashem, against Kiddush Shem Shemayim, and how we have a mitzvah to eventually wage a war against Amalek. That is the Ramban's interpretation of the mitzvah of Zachar al Tishkach. That's the Ramban. So the Rambam in Item Zion also has a very interesting interpretation what this mitzvah of Zachar al Tishkach is. The Rambam says in Hilchos Malachim, in Perek Hei, Halacha Hei, says the Rambam, Mitzvahs asei la'abid zecher Amalek. There's a positive commandment to utterly destroy any memory of Amalek. Shenemar, as it says, Timcha zecher Amalek, we have to blot out any memory of Amalek, anything that brings a memory to Amalek. U'mitzvahs asei, the Rambam continues, it's a positive commandment, lizkor tamid, to constantly remember Maisav Haroyim, his evil ways, va'arivasei, and the way he ambushed us back then in the Midbar, kidei le'oirer eivasei, in order that we should arouse in ourselves a feeling of hatred towards Amalek. It's an incredible Rambam. So we're trying to stir the pot. We're trying to rile ourselves up. Don't come to terms with it. Don't normalize it. We have to constantly be speaking about it and keeping the hatred alive. As the Pasuk says, Zohar Eis Asher Asa Lecho Amalek, and Mepia Shmua, and the Gemara tells us through tradition, Zohar is Bepeh, remembering it means to express it, Loitishkach is Belev, Loitishkach means to remember it, not to forget it, in our hearts, She'osar Lishkoyach Eivasai Visinasai, that it's forbidden to forget the Eva, the hatred, and the sinna, the animosity, and the hatred that we're supposed to have towards Amalek. So again, the Ramban says the purpose of the mitzvah is that we should express it and talk about it and teach our children what Amalek did, the terrible thing that Amalek did. And again, it's not just about ourselves. It's about the fact that he was fighting against Hashem. And the Rambam says a little bit different. It's not to explain to the generations, to our children, why we have a mitzvah to destroy Amalek, but rather it's to keep the sinner alive. Usually we have a mitzvah to forget and to move on and to make him not to bear a grudge. But when it comes to Amalek, the Rambam says the mitzvah is to speak about it, to remember it, in order to keep the hatred alive, not to come to terms, not to normalize the fact that Amalek fought with us back then and was fighting against Hashem. The Rambam uses the word, and I emboldened it, the Rambam uses the word mitzvah asei lizkor tamid. We have a mitzvah to constantly remember Ma'aseh Haroyim. It almost sounds like in the Rambam that the mitzvah of zechiras Amalek, remembering what Amalek did, is a constant mitzvah that we should try to be fulfilling all the time. And as a matter of fact, that's what the Minchas Chinuch says. In Item Ches, the Minchas Chinuch says in Mitzvah Tav Reish Gimel, the Minchas Chinuch is Medayik in the Rambam. This is what the Minchas Chinuch says. Loshen HaRambam, that the wording of the Rambam, U'mitzvah Asei Lizkor Tamid, that there's a positive commandment to constantly remember, so Nira Midvarav, that this is a constant mitzvah. The Minchas Chinuch is Medayik. The Minchas Chinuch he points out this word tamid. Just like there are six constant mitzvahs that we can fulfill all the time, remembering Hashem, remembering that Hashem intervenes in the world. Six mitzvahs, remembering what Miriam. How it's bad to speak Lashon Hara. At the end of the davening, there's a list of six mitzvahs tmidiyos, six zechiris, six things that we can remember anytime you find yourself free and you have nothing to do. You can fulfill a constant mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that we're obligated to do at any time. The six mitzvahs tmidiyos, the six different remembrances and things that we can think about all the time, constant mitzvahs that we can always be fulfilling. The Rambam seems to say that the mitzvah of zechiras Amalek, remembering what Amalek did to us, is also a mitzvah that we can constantly fulfill. And again, it's in order to remember the evil ways of Amalek and how he ambushed us, and we have to try to keep that eva, that animosity, alive. It's a fascinating mitzvah, which is almost, it runs contrary to the nature of the Jewish people to always be rachmanim and baishanim and goimli chasadim. But in this case, we can't have righteous feelings, misplaced righteous feelings. We have to remember what Amalek did and call a spade a spade. We have to remember it for what it is. We have to remember that Amalek was out to destroy everything that the Jewish people stand for. And the Minchas Chinuch is medayik in the Rambam that it's a constant mitzvah. So just keeping in mind all these different ideas, the Ramban says that the mitzvah is to transmit to our generations why there's a mitzvah to destroy Amalek. And the Rambam says that it's a mitzvah to constantly being inspiring ourselves and arousing ourselves to remember the hatred that we're supposed to keep to guard against Amalek. The Minchas Chinuch says that midivrei harav hamachaber, from the Sefer HaChinuch, it's mashma that this mitzvah is fulfilled one time in our entire lifetime. Let's look at the lashon of the chinuch in Ayin Tes, and this is the third interpretation of the nature of the mitzvah. Mishroshei ha-mitzvah. What's the root of the mitzvah? What's the reason behind the mitzvah? Loseis el libenu. We have to take to heart. Shekol ha-meitzer li Yisrael, anybody who oppresses the Jewish people, sonoy lifnei Hashem baruch hu, is hated by Hashem. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch says. That's the reason behind this mitzvah. We have to remember that anybody who oppresses the Jewish people, they're not just oppressing us because we're a weak nation. They're oppressing us because they realize on some level, a subconscious level, what the Jewish people represent. So anybody who oppresses, who fights against the Jewish people, is by definition hated before Hashem. The chilafi ra'asai, and based on the evil, the armas roiv nizkai, and the trickery, and how much damage Amalek inflicted, tia mapalosai v'rasai, to that extent will be the downfall and the evil that will befall them. So this, the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek is not just about, specifically about Amalek. It's about remembering a concept that anybody who oppresses the Jewish people is hated by Hashem, and based to the extent of their evil, to that extent, they'll have a mapala, they'll have a downfall. As it says, k'moy shata moitzi b'Amalek, like it says by Amalek, ki mipnei she'asa ra gedoyla li Yisrael, because Amalek did such evil against the Jewish people, shehischil hu lahazikam, that he's the one who jumped in and was the first to try to injure them, to damage them. Tzivanu baruch hu, Hashem commanded us, la'abed zichram, to wipe out their memory, minei oretz, from the ground, ulisharish acharav, and to go after them and uproot them, ad kalei, until they're utterly destroyed. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch writes. Now, in item Yud, I continued, the El Zechira Hazois Belevu Bepeh, this mitzvah to remember, and how the Gemara tells us that it's Bepeh, we have to express it, Lo Yodanu Bazman Kavua. It doesn't give us any set time. How often do we have to fulfill this mitzvah? Bishana, in the year, or by Yoim, or is it every day? We have a mitzvah to say Kriya Shema twice a day, every morning and every evening. So do we have a mitzvah to express Zechiras Amalek twice a day? No. The Sefer HaChinuch points out that this mitzvah to remember, the Torah doesn't give us any set time. Why not? V'hatam, and the reason why there's no set time, ki b'schira hi ikar hadas, because Kriya Shema, the remembering of Kriya Shema, is ikar hadas. That's a fundamental of our faith. That's why there's a mitzvah to say the Kriya Shema twice a day. V'kumay she'archavnu hadibra al zeh b'harbi mekoymes b'sefri, like the Torah tells us in the Sefri, the Brises teaches this, we talked about this in many places, the Sefer HaChinuch says. Avotam zechiras ma she'asa Amalek, but the reason behind the mitzvah of remembering what Amalek did, that's not a fundamental tenet of our faith. Einu rak sh'lo tishkach sinasa melibeinu, it's simply not to forget the sinna that we're supposed to guard and keep against Amalek. V'day lanu bazeh, and the Sefer HaChinuch says that it's sufficient lizkor ha'inyan pamachas bashana, to remember it once a year, oishtei shonim, or maybe once every 2 years, v'sholosh, maybe once every 3 years. So the Sefer HaChinuch says that the Torah doesn't give us any set time. There's no amount of time. There's no number of times that we have to remember this. So it's really like mikatz al katz. It's really like the other extreme of the Rambam. The Minchas Chinuch points out that the Rambam says that there's a mitzvah tamid, that ideally we should keep this in mind all the time. However, the Sefer HaChinuch, he says, theoretically, you can fulfill this mitzvah once in a lifetime, the Minchas Chinuch says, because the Sefer HaChinuch says that there's no set time. You can fulfill this mitzvah once a year, once every 2 years, once every 3 years. There really is no set time how often you have to perform this mitzvah. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch says. So all of these shitos, the Ramban and the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch, it's all about simply remembering and expressing what Amalek did. The Ramban tells us it's to transmit to our children the reason why we're eventually going to have a mitzvah to wage war against Amalek. It's to remember the evil that Amalek did back then in the Midbar, and we have to transmit and keep this mitzvah alive to eventually we should be in a state of readiness and preparedness mentally that eventually we're going to have a mitzvah to wage war against the Molech. The Rambam says the reason for the mitzvah is that we should keep this animosity alive because a Molech was trying to fight against the Jewish people and fight against everything that the Jewish people represent. And finally, the Sefer HaChinuch says that this is really a lesson to us that whoever fights against the Jewish people is as if they're fighting against Hashem, is hated by Hashem. And therefore, the mitzvah is to remember that a person who fights against Hashem will eventually have a tremendous downfall. That's how the Sefer HaChinuch describes the mitzvah. So according to all of these pshatim, the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek really has nothing to do with the parsha of Zohar that we read before Purim. The Gemara doesn't make any mention that we're fulfilling the mitzvah of Zechira that way. It's simply we want to read the parsha of Zohar before Purim because since Purim is the story of Amalek, we want to juxtapose the story of Amalek in the Torah. But the mitzvah of Zohar, the actual mitzvah of Zohar, is not tied or attached in any way to the reading of Parsha Zohar in Shul on the Shabbos before Purim. It's a mitzvah that we should express it and teach our children. It's a mitzvah that we should keep it in mind all the time. Or it's just that we shouldn't forget what Amalek did, says the Chinuch. But it's not really attached to the reading of Parsha Zohar that we have once a year in Shul before Purim. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch goes on to say, it's on the top of the page on the notes here, V'ulai nemar, perhaps we can say, ki minhagan shel Yisrael b'parsha Zohar, that the minhag that Klal Yisrael established to read Parsha Zohar in Shul before Purim, l'kroisa b'shabbos miyuchad b'kol shana, to read it on a specific Shabbos before Purim every year, toirahi, so maybe the minhag of Klal Yisrael is Torah. Maybe the minhag of Klal Yisrael is an indication how this mitzvah was meant to be performed. U'mipnei mitzvah zu hi shekavu kein. And perhaps it's because of this mitzvah that we established the reading of Parsha Zohar and Shul. So if you remember, this is what the Ramban also said. The Ramban said that in his opinion, the mitzvah of Parsha of Zohar is a general mitzvah to transmit it through all generations. But the Ramban also entertained that perhaps this mitzvah is fulfilled with the kriya that we do in Shul, Parsha Zohar. The Sefer HaChinuch says the same thing. The Sefer HaChinuch says that we can never forget what Amalek did to us, and this can be fulfilled once every year, once every 2 or 3 years. The Sefer HaChinuch says that if once you're saying once every 3 years, perhaps you can say once a lifetime. There's really no set amount of times that you have to remember. But then the Sefer HaChinuch says, like the Ramban, that perhaps we fulfill this mitzvah in Shul, and the minhag of Yisrael is Torah, that the fact that that is our custom to do, maybe the basis of that custom is this mitzvah of Zohar al Tishkach. And because of this mitzvah, perhaps that's why the Chachamim established that we should taka read it once a year in Shul before Purim. That's the Shabbos before Purim, and perhaps this is the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Zohar. So it's the Ramban and the Sefer HaChinuch who say, almost as an afterthought, that when we read Parsha Zohar in Shul, that is a fulfillment of this mitzvah of Zohar. Now, Tosfos and Brachos, on Daf Yud Gimel, says this idea more definitively, and that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. So Tosfos and Brachos. So I brought the Gemara here. It's a bit out of context. The Gemara tells us that the mitzvahs of the Torah, certain mitzvahs in the Torah, have to be fulfilled in Lashon Kodesh. They have to be fulfilled in Hebrew. So what mitzvahs are we referring to that they have to be fulfilled in Hebrew? We know that we can daven Shmoneh Esrei, for example, in any language that you're comfortable with. You can recite the Kriya Shema in any language that you're comfortable with. We had a shiur not too long ago when we were learning Maseches Megillah that the Mikra Megillah, you could recite the Megillah in any language that we're comfortable with. So what is the Gemara referring to when it says that certain mitzvahs have to be fulfilled in Lashon Kodesh in Hebrew? So Tosfos says
Yesh loymar, perhaps what the Gemara is referring to, the Mairi beparshias hamechuyovin likrois deoraisa. Perhaps the Gemara is referring to various selections of Torah readings that we have to read deoraisa, that there's a mitzvah deoraisa to read these portions of the Torah. And Tosfos says, kemoi parsha zachar, like parsha zachar. The parsha zachar that we read in shul, says Tosfos, is a mitzvah deoraisa. This is how we fulfill the mitzvah of zachar. The anu mekayim hamitzvahs asei deoraisa, that we fulfill the mitzvahs asei deoraisa of zachar al tishkach with the kriyas parsha zachar pamachas b'shana, by reading parsha zachar once a year. So the Ramban entertained this, and the Sefer HaChinuch entertained this, but Tosfos definitively states that Parsha Zohar that we read once a year in Shul is the fulfillment of this mitzvah of Zohar. And I believe that this became the minhag, because the Ramban says that the mitzvah is to talk about it and express it and give it over to our children. I don't know about you, I'm not aware of anybody who, like, this is part of the staple that they feed their children, they give over to their children the mitzvah of one day waging war against Amalek, and this is the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. I don't think that we fulfill the mitzvah that way. We don't live it. We certainly don't remind ourselves of this all the time, the way the Rambam says, tamid, all the time, that this should constantly be on our minds, and the Sefer HaChinuch, that we should constantly remember, this should be a lesson to us, that those who wage war against the Jewish people are waging war against Hashem, and they'll suffer a downfall. I don't think that we have these ideas in mind, that we don't consider these things to be things that we have, that we're constantly speaking about. Tosfos says that it's a one-time mitzvah, once a year, and we fulfill this mitzvah in shul with the reading of Parsha Zachar. And that's what the Gemara is referring to, says Tosfos, that there are various mitzvahs that must be fulfilled in Hebrew, in Lashon HaKodesh. And Tosfos says that this is the mitzvah that the Gemara is referring to, the reading of Parsha Zachar that we do on the Shabbos before Purim. That is our fulfillment of the mitzvah d'oraisa of Zachar. That's what Tosfos says. Now, the Shulchan Aruch brings, the right before Hilchos Megillah, the Shulchan Aruch brings the mitzvah of the Dalet Parshis. And later on, the Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh Oimrim, there are those who say that Parsha Zachar that we read in Shul is Doraisa. So that Lashon of the Mechaber, that there are those who say that it's Doraisa, is based on this Tosfos, that we fulfill the mitzvah of Zachar, Eis Asher Asa, Loi Tishkach, we fulfill it once a year with the reading of Parsha Zachar on the Shabbos before Purim. So it comes from this Tosfos. So that's how the Olam is Noig. The Olam is Noig that Parsha Zachar is Doraisa, and we fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras, Mechias HaMolek, with the reading of Parsha Zachar. So I remember when I was in yeshiva on the Shabbos before Purim, so the Gabbai would give a clap on the bima, and the Gabbai would say, everybody should have in mind to be yoitze the mitzvah of Zechiras, Mechias HaMolek, with the brachas, by the Kriyas HaTorah of the Shliat Tzibur, reading Parsha Zachar. So based on the Shulchan Aruch, based on Tosfos and Brachas, we consider the fulfillment of Zachar al Tishkach to be the reading of Parsha Zachar. And that's why everybody's careful to go to Shul to hear Parsha Zachar read on the Shabbos before Purim, because we consider this to be the kiyum, the fulfillment of the mitzvah d'oraisa of Zachar. Just one more time, the Ramban and the Rambam and the Chinuch, They entertained other ways of fulfilling this mitzvah. It's not specifically reading Parsha Zachar in Shul on the Shabbos before Purim. It's a mitzvah that we talk about, that we do all the time. We fulfill this constantly by thinking about it and by transmitting it to our children. But the way the custom became, the way we fulfill this mitzvah, is that we're careful to read Parsha Zachar once a year on the Shabbos before Purim, and that's how we fulfill the mitzvah of Parsha Zachar. In Ayin Yud Beis, so I wanted to sort of like give my spin, like my take-home message from all of this, that very often there's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So for example, Kiddush on Shabbos. The Pasuk says, Zachar es yom ha-Shabbos l'kadosh. It also says the word Zachar. It says to remember the Shabbos to make it holy. And that's why there's a mitzvah of Kiddush. There's a mitzvah to declare Shabbos Kaddish, to declare Shabbos holy. To the extent that the Magen Avraham says, we really fulfill that mitzvah deraisa with the Shmoneh Esrei. When we say in our Shmoneh Esrei, Mekadesh HaShabbos, at the end of the bracha in Shmoneh Esrei, we already fulfilled the mitzvah deraisa of Kiddush, of declaring Shabbos holy. But what did the Chazal do? What did the Chachamim do? The Chachamim, they embellished the mitzvah of Kiddush, and they taught us the proper, the derech kavod, the mechubedik way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Kiddush. They gave us a bracha, a special bracha. They said we should do it over a cup of wine. It's a mechubedik way to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush. So very often, there is the essential mitzvah d'oraisa, and then there's the chachamim's takana, how to go about fulfilling that mitzvah. Like, for example, just on a drabbanan level, when we do Kiddush HaChodesh every Kiddush Levana every month, so essentially Kiddush Levana is that bracha. It's a simple bracha, but Chazal embellished it with reading all sorts of psukim and a kapitel Tehillim and the Gemara in Sanhedrin that talks about being about Kiddush Levana. And that's how we fulfill the mitzvah. The Chazal embellished the fulfillment of the mitzvah. So seemingly it will be the same thing here. So in item Yud Beis, this is sort of like my take-home message, how we fulfill Parsha Zachar. The Be'emes Hi Midoraisa, really Parsha Zachar is a mitzvah deraisa to remember Amalek. And Chazal were koiveya nizman kriyasa. The Chachamim established when we should read Parsha Zachar in Shul. It doesn't say in the Torah we have to read it before Purim. In the times of the Torah, Purim didn't even exist. The Chachamim established when we should read Parsha Zachar before Purim. Uba'ofen zeh niskayim ha-mitzvah d'oraisa. That's how we fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa of Zachar al Tishkach. Just like Kiddush and things of that nature, where the core mitzvah, the essential mitzvah is d'oraisa, but the Chachamim established the oifin asiyasa, the way to go about fulfilling the mitzvah. So the Torah never tells us that the way you fulfill the mitzvah is by reading Parsha Zachar on the Shabbos before Purim. There's a mitzvah of Zachar, and there's a lot of ideas, and there's a lot of depth behind that mitzvah, what the spirit of the mitzvah is, what the mitzvah is meant to accomplish. We have to transmit it to our children. We have to talk about it. We have to keep it in mind all the time. We have to keep that animosity alive because we're sort of standing up for the honor, defending the honor of Hashem, so to speak. But Chazal, they packaged it and they gave us the way to fulfill. They put it into the routine, how we fulfill this mitzvah with Parsha Zachar once a year before Purim. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch says that there's really no set time, how many times a year, or how many times every 2 years, every 3 years, how many times a lifetime for that matter, how many times do we need to fulfill this in order to be compliant with Al Tishkach, Loi Tishkach, don't forget. There's an interesting Maram Shik.
Isn't there a presumption that you need at least once a year, otherwise it's Tishkach related?
Excellent. That's exactly what the Maram Shik says. That's what I'm just about to read right now. Excellent. So says the Maram Shik, it comes from here. The Maram Shik was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. Says the Maram Shik in Mitzvah Tav Reish Aleph. So says the Maram Shik, Mitzvah Zu Anu Mechuyorim Likrois Betzibor Pamachas B'Shah. So the Maram Shik, so he has a theory why we fulfill this at least once a year. But remember, Ezra, the Sefer HaChinuch didn't say that. The Sefer HaChinuch said you can fulfill this once every 2 years, every 3 years. There is no set amount of time how often you have to be talking about a Amalek. But the Maram Shik, he wants to give a rationale to our custom that we fulfill it at least once a year. And says the Maram Shik, Hatam, Arminan Perak Eilu Metzias. The Gemara says in Eilu Metzias that if you find something and you want to announce it because you want to fulfill the mitzvah of a Shabbos Aveda, so you announce it. And back in the day, everyone used to come to Yerushalayim for to be Eilu Regel. We talked about that last week when we talked about the mitzvahs of Chagiga and Re'iyah. So the mitzvah was to announce the lost object. There was an Eden HaToyin, there was a stone, there was a big podium where you would stand and announce the lost object. So you announce it the first regel, the second regel, the third regel. But once a year goes by, then you have fulfilled the mitzvah. You try to return the lost object. You don't have to keep on announcing it indefinitely. So says the Maram Shik, the reason is, the Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia, in Eil Metzias, that an Aveda is nishtakach min alev after 12 months. After 12 months, you forget about it. If you don't remind yourself about something within 12 months, you forget about it. So once you announce the object over the duration of the year and the owner didn't claim it, you can assume that it was forgotten about. And it says another makar, another source for this, because it says that the Torah made a gzeira, the Torah decreed that loyalenu, a person loses a loved one, after 12 months, it's yishtakach. That's why the avelus for a parent is for 12 months. After that, it's forgotten. The person can move on. There's closure. A person forgets something after 12 months. If we don't remind ourselves of something, we forget it after 12 months. So says the Maram Sheikh beautifully that over here the Torah is teaching us not to forget. So if we have to remember it and not forget, what's a minimal requirement? What do we have to do minimally in order to be considered that we didn't forget? Again, the Rambam says we're supposed to remember about it all the time. And the Ramban says we should be talking about it and teaching it to our children. But what's the minimal amount of fulfillment that it can be said that we didn't forget? To remember it, to mention it at least once a year. If we remember it once a year, then minimally it can be said that we didn't forget. Did you remember to do that errand? Did you remember that item? So if you didn't think about it for a year, that's considered that you forgot. If you thought about it within the year, then you can answer affirmatively, yes, I didn't forget, I remembered it, because you have to remember it at least once a year. So this is the Maram Shik's explanation, how this custom evolved, how this interpretation of the mitzvah evolved, that we remember it, we read it in Shul once a year. This is how we fulfill the mitzvah of Zahar, and how we are in compliance with the law of not forgetting, mentioning it once a year. So somebody just wrote in a question, what about a leap year? This year, it was more than 12 months that we read Parsha Zohar last year. So it's very interesting because the Maram Shik says, in the name of his Rebbe, the Chassam Sofer, that on a Shana Me'uberes, on a leap year, when there's an extra month, so Purim was more than 12 months ago, Nochon L'chavin Lotzeis Gam B'Parshas Kiseitze. So if the person is on top of the situation, he should have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah of Zahar and Loy Tishkach when Parshas Kiseitze rolls around, to have in mind not that the 12 months shouldn't pass. He should remember on an ordinary year, so you remembered within 12 months. You got it in the last hour. You got it within the 12 months. But if it's going to be a 13th month year, so there are those who say that it's proper to have kavanah. Perhaps they should make this announcement on a leap year, on an Ibra year, that the gabbai should give a klap and say that for those who want to fulfill, they want to remember a malek at least once a year, they should have in mind to remember to be yoitze with Parshas Kiseitze at the end of Parshas Kiseitze once a year. Okay.
My father used to do that.
Where's this?
My father used to announce that.
That's beautiful. So that's a kiyum of this Maram Shik who says the Shem Nachsam Sofer. Okay. It's not the end of the world because... Go ahead, Ezra.
I was going to be maybe like in the times of Klai Yisrael when they were being persecuted, it was very easy to remember a Amalek.
That's very interesting. The
came until after we are in Eretz Yisrael, meaning the Golus is kind of, the Shiva's over, Klai Yisrael is running the show. Then you got to remember a Amalek.
Then you have to make the active effort to remember yourself. Yeah, that's interesting. So, but I guess want to keep the ideas alive that the Rambam says it's a mitzvah to remember it all the time, and the Ramban says it's a mitzvah to transmit it. This should be like part of the Aleph Beis that we teach our kids, that to transmit this to all future generations. And it's only the Tosfos who says that we fulfill it in shul once a year, and the Maram Shik has to explain how we can be yotze once a year, because that's considered remembering the fact that we didn't let a year go by without mentioning it again. That's how we consider remembering. Okay, so it's very interesting what the background to this mitzvah is. And we're going to come back to this. If a person can't be in shul, how they can fulfill the mitzvah of Zachar in a minimal way. So we're going to get back to that, knowing all of this information, the Ramban, the Rambam, the Chinuch, and the Tosfos. Let's move on to another point about this mitzvah for a moment. The Gemara tells us in Brachas a well-known story. Ma'aseh Rabbi Eliezer. There's a story of Rabbi Eliezer. Shenichnas lebeis haknesses. He entered the shul, v'lei motza asara, and there wasn't a minyan. Now, what did he do? Shichur avdoi v'heshlimu la'asara. So an Eved Knaini, a semi Jewish slave, this servant was originally a non-Jew, and through a certain procedure he acquired the slave and he immersed the slave in the mikvah. The slave received the bris milah, and the slave now is partially Jewish. He has all the mitzvahs of a woman. Now, just like a woman doesn't count towards a minyan, because you have to have 10 men who are b'nei chorin, so an Eved Knaini does not count to make a minyan. He once came into shul. There were only 9 people in the shul. We needed a minyan. So he was attended. He was accompanied by his servant, by his slave. So on the spot, he freed his slave and he was mashlim the minyan. How much does it cost to purchase a slave? I don't know. You have to go back 100 to 200 years in the down south. You purchase a slave. So a slave is what? $10,000, $20,000. So that was a $20,000 minyan that morning. He freed his slave. That's it. In order to free his slave, in order to be mashlim the minyan. The Gemara asks the obvious question. Hechi oved hachi. How was Rabbi Eliezer allowed to do that? You're not allowed to free your slave. Amar Rabbi Yehuda kol meshachar avdoi oiver ba'aseh. Anybody who emancipates, anybody who frees his slave, violates a positive commandment. This is probably a discussion into of itself, what the reason behind that is. It's not for, we can maybe talk about it one another time. The pasuk says, la'olam behem ta'avoidu, that you should work with this slave forever. La'olam behem ta'avoidu. So you're actually, it's a positive commandment to hold on to the slave. So the Gemara answers, lidvar mitzvah shayni. He did it for the purpose of a mitzvah. Asks the Gemara, to make the minyan. Asks the Gemara, how does that answer the question? Mitzvah haba ba'averihi. You can't fulfill a mitzvah by performing an avera, by violating a mitzvah. If the Torah says you have to hold on to the Eved, so how does the fact that you need a minyan, how does that justify freeing an Eved? So the Gemara answers a fascinating teretz, mitzvah derabim shayni. So mitzvah derabim, it's a public mitzvah. It's something, it's a communal need. So the communal need, the mitzvah derabim, overrides the positive commandment of the rabbim that the tzibur needs a minyan. That overrides the positive commandment of holding on to your eved. You're faced with a dilemma. On the one hand, we have an obligation to have a minyan. That's a positive commandment that's incumbent on the rabbim. It's a communal mitzvah. On the other hand, I have my personal mitzvah to hold on to my eved. So the mitzvah, the rabbim, takes precedence over the mitzvah the yachid. So it's true that you have a personal mitzvah to hold on to your eved, but the communal mitzvah overrides, take precedence over the private individual mitzvah. And Rashi explains, what is this communal mitzvah? Mitzvah the rabbim, lahoitze rabbim yidei chayvasam b'kedusha, that the rabbim needs to say kedusha. We had a shiur about this not too long ago, that there's a mitzvah to say kedusha, Kaddish and Kedusha, it's a Davar Sheva Kedusha needs a minyan. So he freed his slave in order that the community, that the tzibor, should be able to fulfill their obligation to say Kedusha. Now the Rush points out something very interesting, that the whole mitzvah to say Kedusha is only the Rabbana. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you have to say Kedusha, right? It's only the Rabbana. Nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer was allowed to violate the Aseh D'Oraisa in order for the tzibur to fulfill the rabbinic mitzvah to say Chazaras Hashatz or Kedusha, Baruch Hu. So the Rush explains this. The Rush says, this is a Rush in Maseches Brachos. The Rush says, mitzvah the rabbim shiny, that the communal mitzvah takes precedence over the private mitzvah, explains the Rush, the alim asay the rabbim, the positive commandment of the community is stronger, is more important than the private individual mitzvah that Rabbi Eliezer had of holding on to his eved. What's the communal mitzvah? V'nekdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. Hashem gives us a mitzvah. I shall be sanctified among the Jewish people. This is the mitzvah, by the way, that one should give up his life, al kiddush Hashem. But we can fulfill this mitzvah every single day. It's amazing. Did you fulfill the mitzvah of kiddush Hashem? So some people fulfill the mitzvah kiddush Hashem by giving up their lives for the sake of their religion. But the Rush tells us that every single day we have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of v'nekdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. I shall be sanctified in the midst of the Jewish people. How do we fulfill this mitzvah in an ordinary sense every single day, three times a day? Kaddish, Baruch Hu, Kedusha, Kriyas HaTorah, any Darvish HaKedusha is a fulfillment of v'nekdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. And says the Rush, explains the Rush, the Hainu Aseh, this is a positive commandment. The Mekadshim Es Hashem Ba'asara Berabim, we're sanctifying Hashem's name in a minion of 10 people. And the Rush makes the point. Afilu Havi Milsad Rabbanan, although technically there's no requirement to say Kaddish and Kedusha, it's only the Rabbanan. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah you have to say Kedusha or you have to say Baruch Hu. Nevertheless, it's Dachi. It overrides the Asay of the Yachid. That's what the Rush says. So it's a concept that not every mitzvah does it have to explicitly say in the Torah. In other words, the Torah says, Hashem says, I want to be sanctified among the Jewish people. How do we fulfill that? We fulfill that with Kaddish and Kedusha. Although Kaddish and Kedusha is a rabbinic institution, it's something that the rabbis thought of. It's a beautiful thing to say Kedusha. It's a beautiful thing to say Kaddish. When we say Kaddish and Kedusha and Baruch Hu, we're fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa. Here's another example where Chazal gave us a way to fulfill a mitzvah d'oraisa, just like Kiddush on Shabbos. They taught us how to fulfill the mitzvah of Zachar Yom Shabbos, the Kaddish, or the mitzvah of Zachar, Amalek. How do you remember? What's the best way to remember Amalek? Let's get together. Let's read Parshas Ki Seitze, the end of Parshas Ki Seitze, Bitzibor from a Sefer Torah. They're giving us the proper way to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa. So says the Rush, Chazal gave us the proper way to fulfill the mitzvah of the Nekdashti B'Soich B'nai Yisrael, Kaddish and Kedusha. And this is such a kiyum, it's such a fulfillment that it justifies violating a personal positive commandment of holding on to your servant. You can free your servant in order for the greater cause of fulfilling the mitzvah of the Nekdashti B'Soich B'nai Yisrael. It's not considered to be a mitzvah habav ever. Why are we bringing all this in? Because the Rush has a line. The Rush says, how do I know that you can free the slave to fulfill this rabbinic mitzvah of the Nekdashti? Says the Rush, the loy mistaberli, because it doesn't seem reasonable to me, demairi ba'asara d'oiraisa, that perhaps you would not be able to free the slave for a mere rabbinic fulfillment. Maybe you would need a d'oraisa. You would need something that's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Perhaps he freed his slave in order to read Parshas Zachar. They needed a minion because you need a minion to read Parshas Zachar from a Sefer Torah. So maybe that was the case. Maybe Rebbe Eliezer freed his slave in order that they can fulfill reading Parshas Zachar on the Shabbos before Purim, but with a minion, because there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to read Parshas Zachar from the Sefer Torah with a minion, and that's why he freed his slave. So the Rush is like debating to himself, What was the justification for Rebbe Eliezer to free his slave? Perhaps one could argue that he was only allowed to free his slave to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa of Parshas Zachar. But the Rush rejects that. It's not mistaber. The Gemara doesn't say that was the case. The Gemara simply says that they needed a minion and he freed a slave. So the Rush concludes that it's mashma b'chol inyan, that any time you need a minyan, even to merely recite the Kaddish and the Kedusha, that's also a fulfillment of a deraisa. That's what the Rush says. So the Rush ends up saying that Rebbe Eliezer freed his slave in order to simply say Kaddish and Kedusha, but in the meantime, we learn something from the words of the Rush that's relevant to our discussion. We learn from the Rush that reading Parsha Zachar is a fulfillment of the deraisa of Zachar Eis Asher Asa Lecha Amalek, like Tosfos says in Brachas as well, that that's how we fulfill the mitzvah. And also, seemingly, the Rush says that part of the mitzvah deraisa is to read it with a minyan and shul. So the mitzvah is sort of like is snowballing. We're learning more and more about this mitzvah as we go on. The Rush introduces the concept that the mitzvah is fulfilled with a minyan to read from a Sefer Torah in shul, and perhaps that's why Rebbe Eliezer needed to free the slave in order to fulfill the mitzvah, the raisa of reading Parsha Zachar with a minyan in shul. The Trumas HaDeshen in Simen Kufches takes this Rush literally. So the Trumas HaDeshen poses a question. If you have B'nei Yishuvim, people living in the Hicks, they're living in small communities, they don't have a minyan, and they want to go to the bigger city on Purim in order to hear the Megillah reading with a minyan. In order to hear the Megillah reading, B'tzibor, Roivam Habris Melech, there's a mitzvah for Sumei Nisa to read the Megillah B'tzibor. So the people living in the little villages, they want to make the trek, they want to spend Purim in the big city in order to hear the Megillah reading B'tzibor. So the question was posed to the Trumas HaDeshen, they should be careful to go, once you're going to the city anyway for Purim, so push yourself, go the extra mile, and go to the city before Purim, the Shabbos before Purim, and that way you can hear Parshas Zachar also in the shul on the Shabbos before Purim. Or is that necessary or not? That's what the Trumas HaDeshen was asked. So look what the Trumas HaDeshen answers. He takes the Rush very seriously, the Rush that we just learned together with the servants. Says the Trumas HaDeshen, Yireh, it would appear to me. So your question was that you want to go to the city to hear the Megillah, and you want to know, should you bother, should you take the trouble of going the Shabbos before to hear Parsha Zohar? The Trumas HaDeshen turns it over on top of its head. Yireh, it appears to me, says the Trumas HaDeshen, Adrava, on the contrary. If you have to go to the city, it's more important to go hear Parsha Zohar B'tzibor than it is to hear the Mikra Megillah B'tzibor. Even though the Mikra Megillah, reading the Megillah, is a very important mitzvah, and the Gemara tells us that because of Persumei Nisa, reading the Megillah takes precedence over other mitzvahs. Nevertheless, says the Trumas HaDeshen, most opinions hold that you can fulfill the obligation of Megillah even individually. You can read the Megillah yourself. You don't need a minyan to be Yotze Megillah. But the Kriyas Parsha Zachar, says the Ashri, that's the Rush, in Perek Shloisha Sha'achul, the seventh Perek in Brachas, this is the Rush that we just learned together, that there's an Asay D'Oiraisa to read Parsha Zachar Ba'asara with a minyan. And not only is there the mitzvah D'Oraisa, it can even override the Avera of La'olam Behem Tavoidu, that Rebbe Eliezer wouldn't be allowed to free his slave. And you see that the Rush entertains that he freed his slave in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Parsha Zachar. The Rush actually rejected that and said that you'll be able to free the slave even merely for Kaddish and Kedusha. But you see from the Rush that he entertained that Rebbe Eliezer would even free his slave for the purpose of fulfilling Parsha Zachar Ba'asara. So says the Trumas HaDeshen, you're asking me, Should I go make the extra trip to go the Shabbos before? Says the Trumas HaDeshen, on the contrary, if you can only go to the city once, you should go for Parsha Zachar and not even go for the Megillah. Because as important as the Megillah is, Parsha Zachar has to be read with a minyan. That's the way to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa. And that's why Rebbe Eliezer would have needed to free his slave in order to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa of Parsha Zachar. However, so we see from the Trumas HaDeshen that he takes the Rush literally, that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to read Parsha Zachar with a minyan. However, the Trumas HaDeshen acknowledges that the Olam is not Zohir, right? The people are not careful, especially back then. Apparently not everyone listened to him, and people did not make it their business
to go hear Parshas Zachar with the minyan. And the Darkei Moshe brings this also. The Darkei Moshe of the Ramah in Tafresh Pehei, he brings this Trumas Hadeshen. He says that although the Rosh and the Trumas Hadeshen seem to say that you need to hear Parshas Zachar with a minyan, nevertheless, they acknowledge that that wasn't the minig of the Olam. People would be Yotze Parshas Zachar B'yachin. Now, the Magen Avram in Tafresh Pehei, and in the Halachas right before Purim in the Dalet Parshas, the Magen Avram also takes the Rosh seriously and the Trumas Hadeshen seriously, but the Magen Avram wants to be Melitz Yoshir. He wants to be Miyashiv the Minig Olam. He wants to be Dan Lekavschus. You know why people don't make the extra trip to Shul for Parshas Zachar? The villages, they only go to the city for Purim. So says the Magen Avram, Atu miksiv b'toyrish yikru dafka b'shabezu. We made this point before. Even if we assume that Zachar loytishkach is a mitzvah d'oraisa, does the Torah specifically say that you have to read Parshas Zachar on the Shabbos before Purim? That it doesn't say. That's for sure only the rabbinic embellishment. That's how the Rabbanon, how they package the mitzvah, like we said for Kiddush. That's how they package the mitzvah. Let's fulfill the mitzvah before Purim. It's a beautiful thing to read about a Malik in the Torah and then to read about a Malik in the Megillah. So the Chachamim set up the routine like that. They scheduled the mitzvah for the Shabbos before Purim. But it doesn't say in the Torah you have to read Parshas Zachar before Purim specifically. The Chachamim were the ones who tiknu b'Shabbos zu. Why? Because people are coming to Shul, it's close to Purim. So the Chachamim established, let's fulfill the mitzvah of Zachar with the Shabbos before Purim. In order to be soymech, in order to juxtapose the story of Amalek in the Torah to the story of Ham. So says the Magen Avram, you can fulfill, if these people are coming to Shul, they're coming to the city to go to Shul on Purim day, you can fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Mechias Amalek with the parasha that we read on Purim itself. Vayavay Amalek, Vayavay Amalek, in Parashas Peshalach, that's also a kiyum of Zachar. It doesn't say in the Torah how to fulfill the mitzvah. So the Magen Avram is miyashiv the minig olam that you can fulfill the mitzvah with Yavay Amalek Nami. You also remember the story of that should be the Amalek there, and you fulfill your obligation of Amalek that way. So here's a whole other dimension to the mitzvah that the Rosh seems to say that you have to read Parshas Zachar with a minyan. The Trumas Hadeshen took it seriously, and the Trumas Hadeshen questions why people are not careful about that. Why don't people make sure to go to Shul before the Shabbos, before Purim? And the Magen Avram also takes it seriously, but he comes up with a yishuv. He's able to justify the minig olam because you can actually fulfill the mitzvah of Zachar with the kriya of Megillah itself. So everybody's of the opinion here, the Rosh, the Trumas Hadeshen, and the Magen Avram, that you need to fulfill the mitzvah in a minyan in Shul B'Rav. Now, the Shaar Tzion, the Mishnah Berurah, in the Shaar Tzion, he questions this. He says, even though the Magen Avram brings from the Trumas Hadeshen that the Rosh writes that there's an assay to read it in a minyan, he says, he doesn't see a makar. The Rosh didn't say that midoy raisa, you have to read it with a minyan. The Rosh said that we fulfill it with a minyan when we read Parshas Zachar. But it's not compelling, it's not muchrach, it's not quite clear that there's actually a mitzvah d'oraisa to read it with a minyan. Perhaps, says the Shaar Tzion, that Rabbi Eliezer would have freed his slave because the Iker Kriya of Zachar is the mitzvah saseh d'oraisa, and perhaps that aspect to read it with a minyan is only the Rabbanan. And the Shaar Tzion, the Chafetz Chaim, writes that he looked in the Rosh and he doesn't feel that the Rosh is actually saying that. Ein hechrach l'divrei Trumas Hadeshen. He says he doesn't find the words of the Trumas Hadeshen compelling. The Rosh does say that they would read Parshas Zachar with a tzibur, and he says that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, but it's not quite compelling that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to read it b'tzibur. That might have just been the Chachamim's embellishment of the mitzvah. And the Shaar Tzion, the Chafetz Chaim, remains with a tzorech iyun. This matter needs looking into. Do you really need a minyan to fulfill Parshas Zachar b'tzibur, or can you fulfill the mitzvah by reading it yourself b'yachid? So the Rosh
is not clear. The Trumas Hadeshin takes it literally. The Magen Avraham takes it literally. But the Chafetz Chaim in the Mishnah Berurah in the Shaar Tzion questions the whole thing, that that might only be a rabbinic embellishment, but really you can fulfill the mitzvah b'yachid also, and he's messiahing with a tzorach ian. This matter needs to be looked into. Now, I wanted to give a theory. Why would the Rush say, if that's what the Rush is saying, if that's what the Trumas Hadeshin is saying, why would you need a minyan to fulfill Parshas Zachar? So says the Sefer Chinuch says the following. The Sefer Chinuch says that the mitzvah of mechias amalek, the mitzvah to destroy amalek, this mitzvah is mutal on the tzibur. The mitzvah to destroy amalek, to fight against amalek, that's a communal mitzvah. Like it says in the Gemara, three mitzvahs we were commanded b'shas kinyasas ma'aretz. We have to appoint ourselves a king, we have to build the base of mikdash, and we have to finally wage war against amalek. Says the Chinuch, a very interesting thing. The truth is that even a personal, private individual, if he would ever get his hands on an Amaleki, if a Nazi ever comes your way, so if you can get away with it, you should really kill the Nazi on the spot. That's what the Sefer Chinuch says. But generally speaking, the mitzvah is fulfilled birabim with a tzibur. So my theory would be that maybe the Trumas Hadeshin holds that because the primary mitzvah of Mechias Amalek is on the Tzibor, that's how usually they have the ability to fulfill the mitzvah. So maybe the mitzvah of Zechiras Mechias Amalek, which the Ramban tells us is connected with the mitzvah of ultimately waging war against Amalek, would also be on the Tzibor. So this might be an insight why the Rush, and why the, in order to answer the Shaar Tzion's question, why would the Rush assume that there's a mitzvah to read it B'tzibor Ba'asara? Why would that be part of the deraisa? So perhaps the explanation would be, if that's what the Trumas Hadeshin is saying, because the mitzvah of wiping out the memory of Amalek is on the tzibor, so the mitzvah to remember it is also on the tzibor. Perhaps that would be a bit of an explanation why the mitzvah would be on 10. Now, just to bring an analogy to this, that the mitzvah of remembering Amalek is connected with the mitzvah of ultimately waging war against Amalek, the Sefer Chinuch in item Chaf Aleph writes that this mitzvah only applies to men. Only men have to hear Parshas Amalek because they're the ones who ultimately are going to be charged with waging war against Amalek. The women are not going to have to wage war. So therefore, the mitzvah is to hear, to read Amalek is only on the men, not on the women. So the analogy would be, so too, since the mitzvah is on the tzibor, perhaps the mitzvah would be to remember it also b'tzibor. Just in conclusion, we just mentioned that the mitzvah might only be on the men to hear Parsha Zohar. The Minchas Chinuch argues, the Minchas Chinuch says that the mitzvah is on the women also. He says, number one, it's a mitzvah saseh she'ein hazman grama. It's not time related, so why wouldn't the mitzvah be on the women? Second of all, who says that women are not going to have to pick up arms and wage war against the Amalek also? Maybe when Mashiach comes and we have a mitzvah to destroy Amalek, maybe the women will also have to destroy, will have to partake in the war and assist in the effort in destroying Amalek. The Gemara tells us even a kala from her chuppah, we take them out. Everybody has to go and wage war against the Amalek. There will be some sort of martial law. Everybody's going to be drafted in to be able to fight against the Amalek. So there's a big machlokes if women are obligated to hear Parshas Zachar. In certain communities, the women go to hear. In certain communities, the women don't go to hear. Some communities even take a Sefer Torah out and make a special kriya for the women. Other communities don't do that. There are a lot of different minhagim. In conclusion, in item Chaf Dalid, the last paragraph, the Piskei Tshuva brings something very interesting. If a woman can't make it to shul, or it's not her custom to make it to shul, to read parshas, to hear parshas Amalek, so the Sefer Teras Chesed gives a suggestion. According to the Ramban and the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch that we brought before, it's not attached at all to Parsha Zohar. The mitzvah is just to talk about a monk. It doesn't even have to be from a Sefer Torah. So says the Teras Chesed, if a woman doesn't make it to Shul to hear Parsha Zohar, she should read Parsha Zohar herself from a Chumash, and she'll fulfill the mitzvah, the spirit of the mitzvah, according to the Ramban and the Rambam. Even if women are obligated, the whole takana to hear it on Parsha Zachar is only the rabbinic the rabbinic package how to fulfill the mitzvah, and really a woman would be able to fulfill the mitzvah, or anybody for that matter, would be able to fulfill the mitzvah by reading it on their own in a chumash. So just to summarize, avada, the best way to do it is to hear it in shul, and we should make every effort to go to shul, but if somebody can't, they can have in mind Parshas Ki Tzeitze. A woman who doesn't make it to shul can be yotze with reading it herself in a chumash. Okay, Yashikoyach, Rabbi Yisai, Yashikoyach.